flock together. And maybe you wondered where the saying comes from, but if, like me, you sometimes have watched documentaries regarding wildlife, birds in particular, you see that in some of the great estuaries that there are thousands and thousands of birds. And among those birds, there could be 7 or 8 or 9 different types of duck. You have widgeon and mallard and shoveler, and there is a gadwell, and there's 1 or 2 other ones as well there that would be probably a little bit rarer. But when you think of them, the female in those types of ducks, mallard, widgeon, gadwell, and so on, they're all extremely similar. And they look very much like one another. They are generally brown, and you could hardly tell them apart. But in those estuaries, you'd have many, many hundreds, or even several thousands of mallard, and widgeon, and gadwell. And yet, even though they are so similar, that is, the females are so similar, they're always with their correct group. You will not find a gadwell or a mallard that's lost its way and she's over there and she's in among the widgeon. They go to their own company. And that is what we read about here in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. Birds of a feather flocking together. For it says here regarding Peter and John that they've gone to their own company. Now, it's very interesting. And folks, it hasn't changed. Let's remember this. It hasn't changed that those who had their differences were all willing to flock together to oppose the cause of Christ. If you look there in verse 27, it says, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." People can still to this day set aside their differences to unite in opposing Christianity, whether it is in some countries in a very violent way, and that is a growing concern, or here perhaps as far as just words are concerned. They were together here. But the people who had been in prison, Peter and John, they realized that now that they were being let go, certainly all their problems wasn't over. But they went to their own company. They could have scurried away off. But they went now to that place where they knew that they would find comfort. There would be encouraging words for them. There would be refreshment for them, for their hearts. And they would be able to be strengthened with the brethren and sisters there. And folks, let's not forget that. We have friends in a whole lot of places. Some are saved, some are not. But when it comes to you and I being weary, which we sometimes do be, or sometimes if you feel that it's quite difficult, just press on at the moment, where we sometimes do be. Sometimes if we're a little bit despondent, if we are discouraged, if we are very unsettled, how thankful we are that we have our own. Have our own companies. I said I've been with many people who are not saved. But for these things, as it was with Peter and John here, there is our own company. I want to look with you at this just for a moment and really get to the center of the message, which is the main part. But we start off by saying here, we're looking at the title this morning is Our Own Company. Our own company. And I want to say, first of all, here that this was a sympathetic company where there was a common interest. You look in verses 23 and look on to 24, it says, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord our God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." These men had come back to their own, and immediately when they were back there, they had a listening ear. It's good to have a listening ear for our brethren and sisters, to be able to share things together in confidence. And all kinds in this fallen world, all kinds of difficulties and struggles, and lots of different types of successes as well. It's good to be able to share it with one another, but it's good to be willing to listen to that. And folks, we're living in difficult enough days in the United Kingdom regarding the furtherance of the cause of Christ. You will, from time to time, hear people on the mainland, we're very glad to hear that, who are speaking out very clearly for the Lord, for that which is in keeping with biblical teaching. And I'm talking here about people, MPs and so on. But I have to say that they are in the minority. Living funny days. Some people say, well, there's a lot more freedom today. Well, we will admit that it is an age of free thinking. Free thinking. That's the way I would put it. And that brings all kinds of problems. If it feels good, let's go for it. If it's a bit sensational and gives you a bit of a lift, well, that is the place to be. If it's something that perhaps our fathers or our grandfathers would have been opposed to, but now we're not in a straitjacket anymore, we can all be involved in this kind of thing, even though the Bible is against it. All of these things are associated with what is known as free thinking. Now, we're not dictators. I'm sure you know that. And we don't dictate to you how to do anything or to anybody how to do things, but we want to stick to what God says. And God has a company for his people when it comes to the need of comfort and encouragement and to be uplifted and for our hearts to be refreshed and even whenever we're weary, to be strengthened. And it is the company of his own people. They could have went away off afraid because they knew that trouble could come again. Well, it wasn't away. It wasn't away. And the threatenings were still there. If you look at verse 29, they did not ask for the easy road out. They asked for help where they were. And folks, it's good to have that sympathetic company. And we thank you for coming today. We know that some are not able to be here, but we're glad to see so many able to be unwilling to be in the pew this morning. And there is a sympathetic company, that common interest that we have together. Maybe never lose it. I want to say, I'll just touch on a couple of things regarding that. A young person, seek out your own company. Seek out your own company. When I was younger and there were young people who were brought up in churches just like this one, and some of them indeed were young Christians. And I remember one fella in particular telling me that he couldn't wait to get to university because the main thing for him was getting away from his parents. I remember looking at him thinking, someday you may regret that. And he did get away from his parents. And he thought he was on the crest of the wave, and maybe as far as him and his friends were concerned for a while, he was, maybe for a year or two. But then it all began to go downhill. It all began to go downhill, and things began to fall apart at the seams. And eventually, I don't know what the latest is with him, but eventually he would come to that point where he knew he needed his own company. He needed his own company of another man. I may have shared this with you before, who was bringing his young daughter. She was going to study at university in the mainland some years back, and whenever they were going to the boat, on the boat, bringing her over there, and there was another young girl that she noticed who was a Christian, and she thought, well, you know, she's going as well. And she tried to went over to talk to her, but there wasn't boldness there. And whenever they got to mainland, and they were going actually to the same university, and she knew this girl a little bit, she thought, you know, she's a believer, we can get friends, and she didn't want to know. She had another way planned for her. And folks, she didn't want her own company. When they refer, you see here, through their own company. They're not saying that they didn't have any contacts who were not saved, but they're saying, we're going back here to the church. God's people, those who are able to give us that uplifting, that strengthening, that word in season that we need now. But I mean, not even just for young people, for older people as well. Thinking again of the mainland and those who knew the fundamentals of the faith, knew the truth of God's word, knew what was reverent worship and so on, but that wasn't enough. And then things have all gone wrong. Well, they've got into a crowd psychology and all of the stuff that goes along with that. Folks, it's hard to beat your own company. And we do trust that the Lord will help us always to remember that there was for Peter here and for John a sympathetic company who had that common interest. It's just something there on Wednesday evening. It was a very, very difficult night. And again, we were wondering and hoping everyone would be okay in the roads and we all understood. Some people couldn't make it because it was just so slippy, but we had a really good turnout. I thought, you know, people don't just come along here to get out of the house. It's not a night for just wanting to get out of the house. We wanted to be in their own company. That was really encouraging. But there's not just a sympathetic company here. We will see that they were a praying company. And really that is what we're looking at for the most of the message this morning. It says there in verse 24 about them, they were one accord, and they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They were people. What they did now was that they prayed immediately. When they heard the report, their hearts were stirred. And really, there was a situation now, from Peter and John brought to the people, a situation that really drove them to prayer. I've read some interesting stories, as you know, when you're preaching. Most Christians or most people read a bit, but when you're preaching, you're reading a lot, and you'd be reading for illustrations that are suitable and for information and so on. Reading about years ago, a good number of years ago in the Russian Federation, and if you know anything about that, you'll know that absolutely massive area. But this was before the Iron Curtain came down and all that kind of thing, and there was great opposition in places. When I say in places, the places are vast. There's big cities there that I've never even heard of yet, and so on. It's so vast. But on one occasion, at least, there was a persecution coming to an area. And it is said that out there in Russia, in the winter time, that there were over 4,000 believers who were gathered together to seek the Lord in prayer. Now, it wasn't too warm here a couple of weeks ago because the heat wasn't on. But 4,000 gathered in the snow. In the snow to seek the Lord in prayer. Because the situation drove them to prayer. And sometimes, when you look around you, at the moment, even in Northern Ireland, the uncertainty of everything, and the wider world, the turmoil that there is, and people in the United Kingdom worrying, and that's what a great repercussion for here, and all of these things. And these things, folks, ought to drive us to the throne of grace in prayer. And why we don't like unpleasant things or things that seem like a crisis, it's good that we're driven to the throne of grace. Because it's there that the Lord has promised to meet with his people and promised to meet them, to hear them, and to meet them at the point of their need. If you look there in verse 29, it says here now is the prayer, really, in particular, of this prayer. In verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." The word of God was, the work of God was what was in their heart, that which was really a present issue. It was a present issue. Important for them that they would now bring this before the Lord in prayer. And folks, the issues are, at the moment, you know what they are regarding Northern Ireland, the climate there is in church attendance, the way, unfortunately, our Lord's Day is looked at, by some in Northern Ireland, and precious souls that have never come and trusted the Lord and would need to come. That is the issue of the day, to come and to seek the Lord. But they prayed not. As I said, they didn't pray for the problem to go away. They didn't ask that they would have an easier time, but rather they prayed, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. The need of the word still needed to go out. Yes, the danger was there. The hardness and those combined in verse 27 that we mentioned who were opposed to the cause, that was all still there. But they asked here, they asked the Lord for the ability to witness. If you look at the word boldness there in verse 29, it is a word that carries the meaning of to be speaking with authority or to speak with power. These are just ordinary men in a dangerous situation, but they wanted what they said. They wanted to tell for the Lord. We're just ordinary today, very ordinary. But we preach the word as it is, to people just as they are, as we must do, and we need to pray that the Lord will use that word and it will come across not as drivel, but when we tell men that they're born in sin, that God will really speak to their heart. When we speak of Christ, the only Savior of men, again, that the Holy Spirit will deal with people and help them understand, this is a message for me, and it's a message for now. A message for now. You'll see there that they prayed unitedly. You look at verse 24, it says, they were with one accord. That was a feature of the apostolic church. So thankful for unity in that way. Relatively small church, great unity. And that does not mean that everyone loves us. We know that is not the case, unfortunately. But great unity in the church here, and we thank the Lord for that. But very, very importantly, in verse 24, you see there where it says they lifted up their voice to God, but the whole lot of them. It doesn't say they lifted up their voices to God, but rather they lifted up their voice to God. What unity there was among them there as they sought the Lord. And as we gather out on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday evening here, and we seek the Lord by and large for the same issues week in, week out, that's not vain repetition, that's scripture repetition. And that's continually coming before the Lord in prayer and bringing it before Him. And that is, and we're there, we all have our different personalities, as we've often said. And sometimes regarding life itself with different views and something. We've been here on Wednesday night. We're praying. We're there with one voice. There with one voice. And if you have been there, you will know that there's praying for the boys and girls. You see it when they're young. For the ones that have been reached now on Wednesday night and through the Sunday school too. For families there. For those who don't know the Lord. For other people round about to come in. And it's the same thing. Time and time again, they lifted up their voices. That's what it said. And that is an interesting expression. Sorry, their voice. They lifted up their voice. Where it says lifted up their cries of thought of dogged determination. Dogged determination. And that brings me really to something very important. I want to say that when R.A. Torrey, who was a preacher, one time he was saying, he said it is very doubtful of ever a single soul is born again without the travail of soul on the part of someone. Someone praying. Someone once said that you can trace every move of God to a kneeling figure. Someone praying. And when I thought of that, there's so much that we would want to say. There is the challenge of heaven's example. And you can look it all up yourself. I will turn to some of the references. We certainly don't have time to go to them all. The challenge of heaven's example is in Isaiah 42 and 14. There's God the Father. And then there's Luke 22, 44, and other verses, of course, regarding God the Son, Christ in the garden, being in agony. Such a serious issue. He had really to to lay hold upon God. And folks, it was serious. It was a serious issue for the apostles at this time, for Peter and John and the others. It was serious for those 4,000 odd people out in the Russian wilderness. It's serious today. Serious today regarding the civil and religious liberties we have, the freedoms that we have. You know all about the pressure from teaching and so on. You must teach this. And, well, hold on, maybe you don't have to teach it, but 2, 3, 5 years down the line, you better teach it. That's exactly the way these things go. There's the example of God the Father, God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit. Except the Spirit draw, then cannot come. So we have heaven's example of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all together. See, praying is a very, very important issue. But there's not only the challenge of heaven's example, there's the challenge of human endeavor. I'm not a bystander, just a spectator, like for today. Over there in Acts chapter 2, and verse 22. We'll read a couple of verses there quickly. It says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, and being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of them, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." What simple but what appropriate words Peter spoke at that time. Now look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this," when they heard Peter's sermon, "they were pricked in their hearts." And the word pricked there, it actually carries the meaning of being stabbed. Conviction came in such a way that it felt as though they were stabbed. And that's the way the Lord works. Men and women. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart," and they said at the end there, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And verse 41 says, "And they that were gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Peter was a man who, yes, he had a few ups and downs in his life. You can remember, you know about Peter. You know how he didn't always go to his own company. He sat down in the world's company, those who were hating the Lord. And he sat down, and as some people said, he warmed his hands at the world's fire. That is not teaching that you're not friends with unsaved people. But remember what their agenda was. And what was in their heart at that time. They hated the Lord. And there was Peter sitting down among them, and even young women going about challenging him. "Surely you're the Galilean. Your accent betrayed you. And you're one of them." And Peter sitting there denying it. Oh. On this occasion that we're looking at in Acts chapter 2, he wasn't denying anything. But over in Acts chapter 4, he wasn't denying anything there. He knew there was a challenge of human endeavor, that which he had to do. Folks, it's plenty for us to do. So do I, if we're doing it the best we can. And we do trust as we go ahead through the year, and that the Lord will help us in all the things that we can, whether it's simply a day out for fun and fellowship, or some evangelical thing here that we have in the church, just specifically in getting people in, and to, like we're having the week after our anniversary service, the week after that would be a friends and family night. I know they're close together, it's a lot of work, the days of supper and all, but Greg Gibson's coming along to give his testimony. The friends and family night, he's converted Roman Catholic, and he's a student with the College of the Bible. And occasions like that, there's the challenge of human endeavor, trying to get people in. Trying to get people in to listen to what the Lord has done for them. Charles Finney was a preacher many years ago, and I'm not saying that I would agree with everything that Charles Finney ever did in his life. Some time later, he changed about things, and that is something, because men are fickle, all of us. And men are prone to change. But when he said, I loaded me down with great agony. I struggled under great burden, and for hours I continually groaned for God, seeking the Lord in prayer for a precious soul. He knew that God was sovereign, and God could do whatsoever he would in us, even as Peter talked about here in Acts chapter 2, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God is overall in control. But Finney knew that he had something to do, and he prayed. And at a place called Rochester in America, I think it's near New York, actually, way back in the late 1800s, when Finney had a campaign there preaching. Plenty of other boys in America could preach too. But when he was preaching, at the end of the campaign, over 150,000 people had professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Professed faith in Christ. And you see, you had the praying, the burden there, taking as our example the praying of Christ, the need for the Holy Spirit to work, the importance of being in tune with God the Father and Him listening. But then there's our endeavor, and folks, there's so much to do, but it's not a burden. It's not a burden in the sense that, he expects me to be there. Surely we want to do it after all that he's done for us. We want to do whatever we can for him. And we love the company. We love our own company. Not because we're all the same, but because we all are of one accord and one voice as far as the Lord's work here is concerned. There's the challenge of heaven's example, the challenge of human endeavor, and just mentioning that, if there's anyone wants to help out tonight with maybe supper and so on, I'm sure the ladies would be very glad for help in the kitchen there. Excuse me. There's one other thing. It is a challenge of this generation. I can't, and I'm sure if you're a Christian here, you can't. I can't simply live for me and think, well, as long as I'm all right. If you look around you, it's every man for himself, isn't it? Well, no, it's not really. And if you want to look at it in the wider area, look how many people work their socks off for charities and do voluntary work and all that, and not Christians at all. But in the Lord's work, it is vitally important that we consider this generation. This generation all around us. It talks about David having served his own generation and how he did that. But look, when you look not only to this generation, but the generation coming up now, get to my age, there's so many younger fellas getting involved in their churches, doing different things, and young girls doing things, some of them going into the Whitfield College of the Bible from all kinds of backgrounds, and the work is going on. We have to pray for them and encourage them. Not to buttonhole them and try to show them how we know better than them and do what I tell you. Here's what I expect you to do. But to encourage them along the way, because that is our responsibility. To encourage them that they too will love their own company. I say their own company, of course I mean the believers, that they're not, that there will be a stemming of this decline that there is and this seemingly need. Great attraction that there is for places where there's so little gospel. There'll be so many people, but so little gospel and so little emphasis upon the important fundamentals of the truth. Peter here and John, they had it all right. They said, for now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I suppose it's something you get used to, being up in the pulpit, it's preaching. But I sometimes have to ask myself, when's the last time I spoke the word of God with boldness? Not arrogance, but boldness just in a conversation with someone. Last week. Maybe last month. Surely not last year. I want to ask the Lord to give us that boldness to speak for him. And verse 33, and with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And great grace, and the words there, it refers to great Christ-likeness was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. And folks, it wasn't all easy after that either. The Lord did what they asked. They give them boldness to continue and help to continue. And they continue to raise their voice as one man and to labor with one accord. And I trust the Lord will help us to do that. I'm very glad you're here today, and we trust that you do love coming to your own company, and that you will be fine in your company as often as you can.